Fans, welcome back to Giants Baseball. It's a pleasure this morning to welcome back to our show. He's an author, Joe Niese, N-I-E-S-E. We've had Joe on before on the wonderful book on Burley Grimes and Handy Andy Pafko. And he's got a new book out. It is The Life of the Brooklyn Dodgers Hall of Famer, Zach Wheat. And Joe has won the Ron Gabriel Award for this book, and it's given by Sabre every year to the person who does the best research on an old Brooklyn Dodger. So it's a pleasure to have Joe with us. The book is interesting. Zach Wheat is a Hall of Famer. And we're going to learn about one of the icons of Brooklyn Dodger baseball in the first part of the 20th century. So, Joe, with that introduction, welcome to the show.
Marty, thanks for having me back. Good to speak with you.
Oh, we love it. The Burley Grimes book was absolutely terrific. And, of course, Andy Pafko we enjoyed. And now here we have Zach Wheat. So why Zach Wheat? What drew you to him? And what were some of the challenges you had to do a book of someone who played in 1915,
18, 1920s? Well, it all came back to when I was working on the Grimes book and Wheat's name just kept popping up. He played the longest with Grimes of any teammate. And, you know, as I was finishing up another book, I just, Wheat kind of stuck with me. And so I decided to dive into his story. And it kind of went out of my comfort zone of my part of the state of Wisconsin here. I went out of state to Missouri to track down Zach. And probably one of the biggest, you know, there's a couple challenges. One of them, I didn't really make a connection with a family member or someone that knew him really well. Luckily, I did track down a man by the name of Kenny Dixon, who had a lot of personal affects of Wheat's that were helpful, particularly pictures. But one of the big challenges was Grimes and Wheat played at the same time and tried to tell his story differently than I did in Grimes, you know, so kind of through Wheat's eyes rather than Grimes. So that was probably one of the biggest challenges.
Mm. Well, Burley Grimes, we refer to that book. He was the last legal spitballer and pitched in the major leagues for a long time, Hall of Famer. And Joe Niese is our author here on Zach Wheat. Let's jump ahead just for a second. Zach Wheat is a Hall of Famer. When did he get elected to the Hall of Fame?
That's kind of an interesting story. So he was elected in 59, but actually the Veterans Committee had voted him in 57, and then they realized he hadn't passed the threshold of 30 years of being retired, so he had to wait two more years until 59.
Now, of course, Zach Wheat, we see the name if we're baseball fans and we know the Hall of Fame a little bit, but what is the backstory of Zach Wheat? Who was he? How did he get to the big leagues?
Sure. So he was born in Hamilton, Missouri, moved to Kansas City, Missouri, then across state lines to Kansas City, Kansas, where he cut his teeth in baseball as a teenager, played for some local semi-pro teams, was left-handed hitting, right-handed throwing, was an excellent hitter from the get-go, but his fielding was always kind of a sore spot in his game. He kind of begged his way onto a minor league tryout, and there wasn't really anything spectacular about his minor league numbers, but there must have been something about the way he played that caught the eye of Larry Sutton, a Brooklyn Dodgers scout. He was actually the first minor league scout to have a full-time job as a scout, and Ebbets sent him down there, and he ended up signing him, and he came up in 1909.
What kind of a hitter, now he's an outfielder, what kind of a hitter was Zach Wheat? Could he, well, of course, in those days, it was a dead ball era, and he does go past the dead ball era into the live ball era, but what kind of hitter was he?
Yeah, so he was, you know, he kind of bucked trends of the dead ball era. He didn't really like to bunt, didn't choke up, was a free swinger, and that kind of, I think, helped him in the transition into the live ball era. He was very fast at the beginning of his career, which didn't really equate to many stolen bases, really, but helped with his range in the outfield. But by a couple years into his career, he started to have leg problems, which really plagued him throughout his career. And that was kind of a tribute to, he had really small feet, like size five or six, and also was pigeon-toed, which I think kind of contributed to his leg issues.
Joe Neese is with us. The book is Zach Wheat. So, Joe, what makes this man you've just described, he looks like a little slap hitter, what makes him a Hall of Famer?
Well, I think it was, you know, sometimes people knock longevity for people to get into Hall of Fame, but he was so consistent for so many years. And, he could kind of be considered a power hitter, even though, you know, I don't think he ever eclipsed 14 home runs, even in the live ball era. But that live ball era really solidified things for him. He did have one batting title in 1918, still in the dead ball. But once the live ball came, kind of his batting mentality was perfect for that. And he had some just really crazy numbers into his, the back end of his 30s there. I think in 1925 when he was 37, I mean, he just had some crazy numbers. So I think that really pushed him into Hall of Fame status.
All right. It's good to learn about Zach Wheat, an old Brooklyn Dodger and a Hall of Famer. The book is called Zach Wheat, W-H-E-A-T. You can get it through McFarland Publishing. And, of course, we have the book tree up in Montclair. David can order anything up there. Now, of course, we've got Giants-Dodgers all the time. There were Giants-Dodgers. The Giants were the team of the first part of the 20th century with McGraw and the Stoneham family and everything else that was going on. How did Wheat and the Giants get together?
Oh, they were, they were indelibly tied, obviously, being in the close by in the city there. And Wheat's first game was against the Giants there in 1909. There was a couple times where there was rumors that he was going to be traded to the Giants. When he was released from Brooklyn in 26, one of the suitors was McGraw. He ultimately went to the Philadelphia A's and Connie Mack. And things really kind of really meshed when Wilbert Robinson took over the Dodgers as manager in 1914. And he had a rift with McGraw. And so that really brought in those, that tie to the Giants and Dodgers.
Did he get along with management? Of course, in those days, management still well into the 1960s and 70s really controlled everything. Did he get into beefs with management at all?
Well, early on, he pretty much signed whatever contract Ebbets put in front of him. And then Wheat was married in 1912, started to really take off as a player. And his wife, Daisy, really kind of encouraged him to negotiate. And, of course, there was no agents at the time, so the players were negotiating their own contracts. And so, it seemed like a yearly rite of passage to get into a contract squabble with Ebbets. As far as his relationship with Robinson went, they were good at first. And then things kind of – Robinson, he's kind of, pictured as a bumbling fool, but he was an excellent manager. Things started to fall – he started to lose – the reins on the Dodgers in the early 20s when Dazzy Vance joined the team and the nightlife started to pick up a little bit, which Wheat never really took part in. But by 1925, Ebbets passed away. Robinson went into a managerial role, a president role, and Wheat slid in as the manager of the team. And Robinson didn't like that. He had feared for years that Wheat wanted his job. And so that kind of was the beginning of the end for Wheat's time in Brooklyn as Robinson saw him as a threat to take over as manager.
Boy, what a career. I'm just thinking numbers-wise. People can relate to numbers. What kind of hits, batting average did Wheat have that put him into this special category that we're talking about?
So he, he still holds numerous Brooklyn batting records to this day, or the Dodger from, their time in Brooklyn to their time in Los Angeles. He still has the most games, at-bats, hits, singles, doubles, triples, total bases. He
really?
Still is the franchise leader in all those numbers.
Wow. I didn't know that. Okay. That's good. Good qualification for the Hall of Fame. So he leaves Brooklyn, and then what happens in his post-baseball career? How does it end up for him? As most people leave baseball, there's always a little bit of a story on the end game.
Yeah, so it was kind of a curious situation. So he played for the A's for 1 year and then played for the Minneapolis Millers. And then after that, he really had a hard time getting back into baseball. There was always rumors that he was going to be joining a coaching staff, The Dodgers, you know, there's always rumors of him being a manager for them. As when there was turnover in the mid late 30s, his name was always bandied about. But he could just not crack back into the league, and he actually joined the Kansas City Police Force in 1936, and was in a severe car accident and was almost killed. And I think that kind of softened the view of some people in baseball, and he was welcomed back more to old-timers games and stuff like that, but he never really got back into the game as he wanted to. He was, you know, a bird scout for a team working for free. And but it was just kind of curious. I don't like to get into speculation in the book, but I sometimes wonder if he was kind of, you know, blacklisted in some way for his interactions with Robinson, the Dodgers. But it's kind of curious that someone who was so well liked wasn't welcomed back in as a manager or coach.
Boy, what a story. Well, I'm glad you took the time to research it. You got a nice award from Sabre for doing it. And we've learned something about another Hall of Famer. I didn't realize he had all those records still to this day for the Dodgers. It explains how he became a Hall of Famer. So, Joe Neese, always a pleasure. Always learn a lot from you, and we appreciate having you on.
I always enjoy speaking with you, Marty. Thanks for taking the time.
All right, pleasure. The book is Zach Wheat, The Life of the Brooklyn Dodgers Hall of Famer, and Joe Neese, N-I-E-S-E, wrote the book. More coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.